We want to welcome each of you here this afternoon. The family appreciates very much your being here, a time of remembrance of Rick and his life. Your attendance truly does show your appreciation that you had for Rick, and it's a blessing to the family for you being here. Richard Frederick Robinson, 61, of Fayetteville, passed away Monday, October 1st, 2007, in Fayetteville. He was born September 26, 1946, in Long Beach, California, to Feli Fred Robinson and Laverne Hinkle Robinson. He was retired from the Veterans Administration as a hospital administrator, having served at the Fayetteville Veterans Administration Medical Center from 1990 until 1999, and has been the director of pharmacy for Harps Food Stores since 2000. He was a U.S. Army veteran, a member of the Gideon's International, and a member of Fellowship Bible Church in Springdale. He is survived by his wife, Linda Parko Robinson, his father, Feli Fred Robinson of Apple Valley, California, two sons, Matthew Robinson and wife Bren of Fayetteville, Nathan Robinson and wife Cherry of Springdale, three daughters, Amy Schwartz and husband Bernie of Los Angeles, California, Rebecca McNeil and husband Nick of Little Rock, Arkansas, Laura Bowen and husband John of Lincoln, England, two sisters, Judy Collins and husband Bill of Apple Valley, California, Virginia Robinson of Redlands, California, one brother, Mark Robinson of Hartford, Alabama, and two granddaughters, Sarah Julianne Schwartz and Madeline Frances McNeil. My first remembrance of Rick was about 15 years ago in this room. We had recently come to the church, and one of the first couples to introduce themselves were Rick and Linda. We appreciated very much their friendship over the years. They were very committed to mission work and seeing what we were doing as well as others, because Rick was very concerned that people come to faith in Jesus Christ and have a relationship with Him. We, since that time, had a number of lunches together, and we would talk about things of mutual interest. We'd talk about our family together. We'd talk about woodworking. We'd talk about problem dogs that we both had. And just a good friendship existed. But Rick is in a much better place. He's with his Lord. That's the hope that he had. And that's the concern that I'm sure that he has for each of you, that you understand the hope that he and Linda had, the hope that he would one day be with his Savior. And we laid Rick's body to rest this morning in Fort Smith. But that was just the body. Rick is with his Savior. And we take hope, we take comfort in that. In God's Word, we find comfort in knowing that death has been conquered and the promise of eternal life has been given to all who, like Rick, have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And two portions of Scripture I'd like to read to you in as we begin this afternoon address the fact that Rick is with the Lord and the hope that he had of one day being reunited to that body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes, "So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it's not spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as the man of heaven, so also are those of the heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall it come to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians, again Paul writes, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Let's have a word of prayer, please. Father, we thank you on this occasion that we have the comfort of your word. We have the comfort also of Rick's testimony. We thank you that you are a God of all comfort, and we pray that you would at this time comfort all of us, but especially Linda and the family. We feel a great loss today, Father. We pray that you would bless us with a sense of encouragement, a sense of hope. We commit this service to you. In your name, amen. Be appropriate to take your hymnals, if you would, and turn to number 392. 392 is a song that, in some of the verses, reflects somewhat of what I'll be saying in a few minutes from Rick, especially the last verse, nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. And we'll be talking about that in just a few moments. So I thought it'd be appropriate to stand, if you would, please. And we'll sing just the first and the last verse. First and last verse of number 392.
Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Hold me, O Lord.
Be seated, please. This is a memorial service. As Steve mentioned, we laid Rick's body to rest this morning. And so we're here to remember Rick. Perhaps in the remembering we can be comforted and encouraged. And we need comforting and encouraging because at least some of us are still in a sort of a state of shock. Within 2.5 weeks from parents of health to dead. And that is, it just almost unreal and so unexpected and so sudden. Death never comes at a convenient time. It's never just the day to die for people. There's never a fitting time for a funeral. So today we remember his life, even as we adjust to his death. Everybody here, I'm sure, at least most of us, have our own remembrances of Rick, and will be amazed at how many times his remembrances come up in a day-to-day routine. One thing that I was thinking of would be just what happens quite often. I call their home quite often. Linda functions as the church secretary, and so I call her for help all the time, and sometimes they don't answer the phone, and Rick comes on with a recorded message, you know, the standard thing, we're not home now, something to the effect, but if you leave a message, we'll be glad to call you back. And then you can just a little pause, and if you know Rick, you can just kind of see a little grin in his face and a little twinkle in his eyes as he said, unless you're a telemarketer. And, you know, that's just Rick. You had to watch him closely to know if he was being serious or not sometimes. So feel free to call and hear Rick's voice again. I assume it's still on the phone, isn't it, Linda? Thank you. Bernie and I, my wife and I, have 17, 18 years of remembrance with Rick and Linda, and as much of many of you, personal times, times out, times helping tear apart the kitchen and the remodeling and trying to fix leaky plumbing pipes and calling plumbers to fix. My wife and I have a special remembrance of Rick and his bloodhound. When we first met him, he was still at the VA hospital, and we were sitting in the living room of the house there, and just all of a sudden Rick started saying about how much he loved bloodhounds, and I'm thinking, nobody loves bloodhounds, and he's kidding. Well, he brought out this book, 175,000 pictures of bloodhounds, and literally we went through that, and he's showing me this one, and finally I got, this man is serious about bloodhounds. Well, our neighbors had a pair of purebred bloodhounds, and they ended up with, I think, 13 pups in one litter. And I said, well, that's pretty neat. And so I called Rick, and I said, hey, Rick, you need to come over and see these puppies. And we set up a time on a Saturday morning for them to come, and Rick and Linda were going to have coffee and donuts, and then we'd just wander over and see the puppies. Well, it was raining that Saturday morning, and Rick and Linda never showed up. And we said, well, you know, because it's a... And I looked out the window, and I called my wife and said, we're in trouble. And Linda's in for a big surprise, because Rick is out there in the rain, surrounded by 13 little puppies. And one of those puppies turned out to be Linda's big surprise, Bo, and all 160 pounds of bloodhound. And so we sort of feel responsible for that part of Rick, but just... that kind of thing. I remember Rick from here in Sunday school. He sat in my class about 4 or 5 rows back on the aisle where he could see me. And he'd sit there with a smile on his face, and he's just waiting to say something. He was never shy about his comments. We had a good time in class. He never could understand why, when I drew a map on the board of the Holy Land, and you have the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea and the Jordan River, and here's Jerusalem, and here's Chicago. And he never quite got the connection between the Holy Land and the north side of Chicago. One Sunday, I walked into class, and there, taped on the board, is a map. And Rick is sitting there with a big grin on his face. And it's still there. It's the Rick Robinson Memorial Map of the World. We have had good times. I remember Rick in a special way that most of you, in fact, perhaps only half a dozen of you, ever knew him as. Rick served for the entire time that he was here as an elder of this church. And we would meet once a month, sometimes twice a month, basically around a round table, and Rick would sit right here. I'd be here, Rick would be here, and other guys around there. And Rick would be taking notes, making comments regarding whatever we were discussing. His comments were good. He was a wise and a godly man. And when he spoke right to the issue. He could be very firm. He could be very gentle. We kind of gave him the title of the kind-hearted elder, because he would take the rough corners of some things I would say or would write, and he would round them off so that somebody else would receive it in a little better way than just being, you know, hard. He was good with people in dealing here in the church as well. He was the elder that handled benevolence where we had needs. He was one that we leaned on when somebody needed to be corrected, because Rick was good with people. We had our elder meeting yesterday morning, as we always do on Wednesday, at 6 o'clock, and there wasn't anybody there. And we will miss him. But almost prophetically, Rick left something behind for us, because he left us a hope. 5 Sundays ago, which would be just 2 Sundays before he got sick, 5 Sundays ago, Rick was the elder who was standing in his pulpit leading us in our communion service. As we remembered the death of Christ and on the cross and his sacrifice, and in the passage that we generally read in our communion service out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, are the words, doing this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And Rick had chose for his meditation before the communion service, as he led us, to lead us in thinking about the coming of the Lord. The Lord coming back for his own people, and it just looking back, it's almost just prophetic that he would pick that subject to talk about, death and the coming of the Lord, and just 2 weeks later into the hospital. I think it would be fitting, as we remember Rick's life, that we hear in his own words what he thought about life and death, about his hope of life. And so I would like to read the manuscript that he wrote as he led us in the communion service, and get a flavor for where this man's heart was and what his hope was, how he looked at death, not knowing that just a couple of weeks later it would be very real to him. So let me just read in Rick's own words some things for us to remember. We celebrate communion to remember and reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we remember his death, burial, and resurrection, but we should also look forward to his return. In 1 Corinthians, the communion table is a vivid picture of how Christ provided the way for our salvation. The bread represents Christ's body that he sacrificed on the cross in our place. The cup represents his blood that he shed for the remission of our sins. The message of salvation is very clear. Christ took our sins, yours and mine, on himself and then paid the penalty for sin, death. We deserve that death because we are sinners, but he suffered that death in our place. So he suffered in our place and he died in our place and then he was raised from the dead. Proof that what he accomplished on our behalf was acceptable to God the Father. As a result, we have salvation and a relationship with God the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, we are told to continue to celebrate the communion table until the Lord returns, and we should really eagerly anticipate the Lord's return. In last week's message, Pastor John spoke of how Peter looked forward to putting off the outer tabernacle, that is his body, and joining the Lord Jesus in heaven, where his true citizenship is. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, Paul states, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I know not, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Paul makes it very clear he is looking forward to being with the Lord. We should be excited about the Lord's pending return, and we should certainly look forward to it. From a human perspective, a long time has passed since the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven with the promise that he would return in the same manner. From a practical standpoint, how do we maintain the eager anticipation of the Lord's return when so much time has passed? In a little more than a week, on September 12th, Linda and I will celebrate our 40th anniversary. Within a year after we were married, 40 years ago, I was in the Army. I went through basic training, advanced individual training, and then officer candidate school. Upon my commissioning as a second lieutenant, I was assigned to Korea. At that time, Korea was a 13-month unaccompanied tour of duty, which meant that I had to go to Korea alone, and Linda had to stay in Arkansas for the 13 months I was in Korea. Now, I want you to know that for a young 22-year-old second lieutenant, 13 months away from my bride of less than 2 years seemed like an eternity. To accentuate it, Linda was more than 9 months pregnant when I had to leave. In fact, Amy, our first daughter, was born within 2 weeks after I arrived in Korea. I cannot think of anything I more looked forward to than returning from Korea and being with my wife and daughter. Not a day went by that I did not dwell on my return, and with each passing day and month, I grew more excited knowing that the day of our being together was closer. Now that was true, eager anticipation. The question I need to ask myself is, do I anticipate the Lord's return with the same excitement and longing as I did in returning to Linda from Korea? And the question I ask each of you is, how eager is your anticipation of the Lord's return? Those were Rick's words. You get a real picture of his heart. He really looked forward to the Lord's coming, never knowing that just in 3 weeks he would be in the presence of the Lord. Notice how he ends with a question, and if he were here, he would individually ask you that question that deals with your hope for eternity. With faith in Jesus Christ, death merely becomes a passing, a putting off of one body and taking on a different mode of existence and being with the Lord for all eternity. Rick ends this in his last paragraph. If you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, I encourage you to do so now. And you too can eagerly look forward to his return. As you think of Rick, as you remember him in your particular relationship, whether it's in the office or as associated with him perhaps in some organization or whatever, and you remember your times together, and I trust you can, and you can take comfort and almost be happy in the times that you had, I trust that you will remember his heart and his life, what he lived for. He lived on the basis of his faith in his Savior, and he lived for his being united with his favor, with his Savior. And that hope has been fulfilled for Rick. And it waits for us. We anticipate being with him someday. So be comforted, even in the great emptiness, the missing him that we will all go through. Be comforted for him, and be comforted with your own hope in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again that you are the God of all comfort. You know, Lord, how to meet each one of our needs. For some, for most perhaps, we trust the same hope that Rick had of seeing you. May it be our anticipation, our eager anticipation. Perhaps for some, the challenge that Rick would end with, of placing faith in Jesus Christ so that death does not end life. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Rick had a song he liked. It fit his hope. It certainly fit the message that he wrote for communion. And it's number 402, and we want to stand and we want to conclude our official remembrance with this song. Think of Rick as you sing these words. My hope is in the Lord. And I said, excuse me, I said 402, and it's not 402, it's 406. 406. My hope is in the Lord. Stand, please, and sing all four verses. These are Rick's words, our song. And light he freely gives.
knows his wounded hands and names me as his own. For me died, for me lives, an everlasting life and light he freed.
Be seated, please. Fellowship hall in the back of the church. You're invited to join them there if you wish. You are dismissed.